A large choir, under the shaky direction of Mrs. Ellen Mulholland, was assembled next to the driveway and began singing Jingle Bells. Linda Galdi owned a set of handbells, and her hurriedly recruited band began ringing them along with the choir. The front lawn was covered with neighborhood children, all waiting eagerly for Blair and her mysterious new fiancé. When the police car slowed in front of the cranks, a cheer went up, a loud hello from the kids on Hemlock. "My goodness," Blair said, "what a crowd." There was a fire truck parked in front of the Beckers and a large lime-green ambulance in front of the Trogdons, and on cue all their lights began flashing to welcome Blair. When the police cars rolled to a stop in the driveway, Vic Frohmeyer himself yanked open the front door. "Merry Christmas, Blair," he boomed. She and Enrique were soon on the front lawn, surrounded by dozens of neighbors while the choir howled away. Blair introduced Enrique, who seemed just a bit bewildered by the reception. They made their way onto the front steps and into the living room, where another cheer went up. At Nora's request, four firemen and three cops stood shoulder to shoulder in front of the tree, trying to block as much of it as possible from Blair's view. Luther and Nora waited nervously in their bedroom for a private reunion with their daughter and for a quiet introduction to Enrique. "What if we don't like him?" Luther mumbled, sitting on the edge of the bed, rubbing his ankles. The party was growing rowdy down the hall. "Hush, Luther. We raised a smart girl." Nora was applying a last-minute layer of powder to her cheeks. "But they just met. Love at first sight. That's impossible." "Maybe you're right. It took me 3 years to see your potential." The door opened and Blair rushed in. Nora and Luther both glanced at her first, then quickly looked beyond to see how dark Enrique was. He wasn't dark at all, at least two shades lighter than Luther himself. They hugged and squeezed their daughter as if she'd been gone for years, then, with great relief, met their future son-in-law. "You guys look great," Blair said, sizing them up. Nora was wearing a bulky Christmas sweater, the first time in memory that she wanted to look heavier. Luther was the aging gigolo. "Been watching our weight," he said, still pumping Enrique's hand. "You've been in the sun," Blair said to Luther. "Well, yes, we've had some unseasonably warm weather, actually. Got a bit burned in the flower beds last weekend." "Let's get to the party," Nora said. "Can't keep folks waiting," Luther added, leading the way. "Isn't he handsome?" Blair whispered to her mother. Enrique was just a step ahead. "Very handsome," Nora said proudly. "Why is Daddy limping?" "Hurt his foot. He's fine." The living room was packed with people. A different sort of crowd, Blair noticed, not that it mattered. Most of the regulars were not there. Most of the neighbors were, and she couldn't figure out why the police and firemen had been invited. There were some gifts for Enrique, which he opened in the center of the room. Ned Becker passed along a red golf shirt from a local country club. John Galdi had just been given a picture book of local country inns. His wife rewrapped it, and they unloaded it on Enrique, who was moved almost to tears. The firemen gave him two fruitcakes, though he confessed they didn't have such delights down in Peru. The Police Benevolent Association gave him a calendar. "His English is perfect," Nora whispered to Blair. "Better than mine," she whispered back. "I thought you'd said he'd never been to the U.S. He was educated in London." "Oh." And Enrique went up another notch. "Handsome, educated abroad, a doctor." "Where did you meet him?"
"In Lima, during orientation."
A cheer went up as Enrique opened a tall box and removed a lava lamp, one passed along by the Bellingtons. When the gifts were done, Luther announced, "Dinner," and the crowd moved to the kitchen where the table was covered with the Hemlock leftovers, though the food had been arranged and rearranged until it looked original and festive. Even Nora's smoked trout had been dressed up by Jessica Brixley, perhaps the best chef on the street. The carolers were frozen and tired of the snow, though it wasn't heavy. They heard the news about dinner and moved inside along with Mrs. Linda Galdi's handbell ensemble. The man with the orange and gray beard Nora had met by the peanut butter at Kroger appeared from nowhere and seemed to know everyone, though no one seemed to know him. Nora welcomed him and watched him carefully, and finally heard him introduce himself as Marty somebody. Marty loved a gathering and quickly warmed to the occasion. He cornered Enrique over cake and ice cream, and the two immediately launched into an extended conversation, in Spanish no less. "Who's that?" Luther whispered as he limped by. "Marty," Nora whispered back, as if she'd known him for years. When everyone had eaten, they drifted back to the living room where a fire was roaring. The children sang two carols, then Marty stepped forward with a guitar.
Enrique stepped forward, too, and explained that he and his new friend would like to sing a couple of traditional Peruvian Christmas songs. Marty attacked the guitar with a vengeance, and the duet began in a nice harmony. The words were unknown to the audience, but the message was clear. Christmas was a time of joy and peace around the world. "He sings, too," Nora whispered to Blair, who just radiated. Between songs, Marty explained that he'd once worked in Peru and that singing the songs made him miss the place. Enrique took the guitar, strummed a few chords, then softly began another carol. Luther leaned on the mantel, alternating one foot at a time, smiling gamely, though he wanted to lie down and sleep forever. He looked at the faces of his neighbors, all of whom were entranced with the music. They were all there, except for the Trogdons, and except for Walt and Bev Scheele,